Last Sunday was Resurrection Sunday. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. We had a wonderful service, and it's always great to celebrate that our God is alive. Amen?
Amen.
We don't remember God as a memorial.
Right.
We thank Him for what He did, but we thank Him for what He's doing now. He's alive.
Yes.
And that's powerful. Last week, we talked about how the cross changed everything. How we concluded Passion Week, and we talked about how it started in Palm Sunday and how it ended in victory. How the story, this story, changed your story. We talked about when Jesus was on the cross and went through the brutal torture from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and said, "It is finished." And the significant words of that, not "I am finished," "It is finished." And the Greek translation meaning "paid in full." So Jesus paid our debt in full. When He uttered those words, He was declaring that the debt that mankind owed God the Father for the wrath to be satisfied so that we have reconciliation is now made. And not only that, but our sin is paid for in full, all of it. Jesus didn't owe anything to the Father. Rather, Jesus eliminated the debt owed by mankind. It's a powerful thing. Not only does God not take into account of what we've done, but we can now just move on and forget about it. And because of that, there is no more need for the old ways of the sacrifice. God the Father told the chosen people, "You have to make a sacrifice in order to do this." He was setting the scene for what His only beloved Son would do for all of us, Jews and Gentiles. And in Hebrews 7:27, it says it like this: "Unlike the other high priests, He does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for His own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when He offered Himself." And now Jesus is our high priest. Amen?
Thank you, Lord.
And not only that, we're blameless before God. In Colossians 1, verse 22 says, "But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish," it says, "and free from accusation." God doesn't even accuse us of this. Think about that. That is the love of God. Because Jesus is alive, we are alive. And now we come to God with boldness. Because the veil is torn. That was the message that was preached last week. I encourage you to take that in and make every Sunday Resurrection Sunday. That's what it's here for. Make the resurrection every day in your life because it changed your story. And you can always go to Him. Today I want to talk to you about something a little different, but something as important. And I titled this Kingdom Keys. Yeah, I started doing this study on keys, and I was actually surprised at the outcome of keys that I got. It's amazing how much we use the word key. It is, if you think about it. You know, if you like music, you know the different keys of music. How about keys to this? Yeah, I put in Google keys, right? I was thinking house keys and things like that would come up. It was something totally different because we have a consumer mindset. This is what it came out to. Keys to being a successful leader. Keys to a successful marriage. Keys to winning a game. Keys to winning a game of poker or blackjack. Now, wait a minute. I don't take that one too far. Okay, I'm not saying. Don't look that one up. Keys to asking a girl on a date. And she says yes. Keys to financial freedom. Oh, I know you've all heard that one now. I've heard that one. Keys to financial freedom. You got to have keys to do that. Keys to getting out of financial debt. Keys on a keyboard. Keyboard. Keys on a laptop. Didn't think about that one, did you? I actually just thought of that one. I just put it in there. I thought it was clever. But that's how I think. I could go on and on. We all have different things that we say keys. But how about the important keys that are very close to us? How about our house keys? How about our car keys? Anybody ever lose those before? Yeah, everybody's shaking their head. Yes, okay. Me too. Those keys are very valuable. Has anybody ever lost keys before and were happy about it? I don't think so. You think, I got to find those keys. Some people barely use, I hardly ever lose my keys. That's just the way my mind thinks. I'm always thinking, okay, keys, phone. But sometimes I do lose my keys and it drives me absolutely insane. And most of the time, they're in easy places, right? We end up finding them. But some people lose their keys all the time. There's an individual I know, they lose their keys so much that they finally put a little tracker on their key ring. Anybody got any of those? Okay, yeah, we got a few. All right, so we can all relate to this, or most of you can. And it's amazing to me. They lose their keys so much, and all of a sudden they have it on their phone, and they look it up on their phone, and they'll have the location of it, you know, so they'll look and they'll find them, you know, somewhere. Oh, but one person I know has them, and it has like a beeping system. And it sounds just like those people out on the beach that are looking for the pirate's gold. You know, they got that metal detector. And beep, 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 beep. And the closer they get, the faster it is. I'm thinking, how can you lose your keys so much? But it happens. Bottom line is, when we lose our keys, it's pretty important. How about your house keys? Now, we've pretty much gotten into the security systems and there's pretty much ways you can get in. But I remember as a kid, so many times I would lose the house key or I'd forget my house key. I'd be locked out. We didn't have phones. We didn't have any way to communicate. And if we didn't have a hidden key somewhere, we'd have to wait outside sometimes for hours until somebody showed up. So you're just sitting there on the front porch. Anybody ever go through this? You sit on the front porch and you're just kicking yourself for going, I can't believe I forgot my keys. And finally that car, that truck comes up and oh, we can get into the house now. Keys are important. Jesus used the term keys as well in Matthew, and those keys are important. And these keys are kingdom keys. And he says in Matthew 16, and I want to read it with you, in verses 13 through 19. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now, Jesus wasn't insulted by this because these were considered very high and respectful prophets. Jesus was a prophet as well. And in verse 15, he says to Simon Peter, what about you? What do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. In verse 17, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Verse 18. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So what does this mean? Well, number one, we don't need to lose these keys. Right? These keys are far more important than our house keys or our car keys or whatever keys you have. These are kingdom keys. These kingdom keys we never need to lose ever. We never need to lose sight of these keys. We always have to have these on us. We always have to be ready for these kingdom keys. They're very, very important. I've heard before people say you have to have keys to get into the kingdom. Okay, that's a good scenario. I've heard people say you have to have the right key to get into heaven. Okay. And I agree that not all people make it to heaven. Jesus made that very clear. We do have to have keys to get into heaven, if you want to look at that symbolic analogy. And that God unlocks doors that we cannot. God closes doors, opens doors. But these keys for the kingdom are a little bit different, what Jesus was talking about. Kingdom keys mean authority. So Jesus told Peter, which direct translation means rock. So he told the rock, he now has the keys to the kingdom. Kingdom keys were a sign of authority and were very valuable. Biblical scholars note that the meaning during that time meant that a trusted steward kept the keys of the king. They're very valuable. And that king trusted and put forth the trust because he had the master's possessions and could do anything with the master's possessions because he had the keys. That has authority. So Jesus gave Simon Peter the keys. Now keep in mind, a little side note. This is the same Simon Peter, before he said this, later on denied Jesus three times. Literally betrayed Jesus at trial and shamed him. And Jesus reinstated him and still said, "You had the keys." Remember, he reinstated him. We talked about that a couple of months ago. I just want to make that very clear that, you know, Peter's not God here. Okay. But Jesus gave Peter the authority for the church. And so Simon Peter had the kingdom keys. And we see that because in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and it fell on the people. People were amazed. What are all these people saying? And Peter, who had the keys, the authority, stood up and said, "We are not drunk, because it is in the morning. We're filled with the Holy Spirit." And he then told the Jews and gave them the message with authority. Yes. And the Bible says that 3,000 were baptized that day. Amazing. Peter boldly preached. He boldly preached to them. And not only then, but in other cases as well, in Acts 10, he also did the same thing. At the house in Cornelius, he even boldly said that we Gentiles can now eat bacon. And we can even wrap bacon around our pork chops. It's good stuff. But Peter had authority. But not only did Simon Peter have the kingdom keys, but so did the disciples. In John 20, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." When you look at and you study this text, the biblical scholars are saying that Jesus was giving him the keys to begin the church, to establish the church. And he had the authority to be able to bind and to loose things. And we'll talk more about this in the next week. But the bottom line is this, folks. Peter had the authority by God, as well as the disciples, to start the church, and they did. The keys have not gone away. We now have the keys that Jesus gave to Peter and the disciples that's been passed down for years and years and years. And the keys have been passed on to us, the church, now. Friends, we have the authority now. We have the authority through the Holy Spirit. We have the authority through the Word of God. Yes. The Word of God is our authority. We have to have the authority in our churches. We have to have the authority in our lives. The authority is a good thing. The Bible says it all. It's very simple. What God is for, we are for. What God is against, we are against. What he says, we strive to do. What he says not to do, we avoid it. But we have to know what God wants, what he doesn't want. We have to do what he says do, and we have to not do what he says do not do. That's only through the authority of God, which is the Bible. We have to have authority in our life. We have to have direction in our life, and we have to have this authority in our church. We have the kingdom keys. It's good to have authority. Keys are very important in the prison system. As you guys know, I do prison ministry. I'll give you a little quick run. You run through, you go through security, they make sure you don't have anything on you, and then you put your shoes on, you put your belt on, you know, you do the whole airport security thing and all that. And then you go through these doors. You have to have all this ID and they put these things on anyway. So make sure that you're not, you know, an inmate who, you know, beat up the preacher and put his clothes on so you could leave, right? So I'm sorry, I watch too much action movies. But here's the thing. Let me get to the point. You go through the first door. You got to have a key. Matter of fact, when you go in the entrance, you have to go through a very large steel door. And that's like just in the movies. You hear it roll behind you. Then it locks. Boom. And then the second door, same thing. You go through it. I can't get in there without that. Then you have to go through three other locked doors. And then you have to go through another locked door in one of the facilities. And when you walk up, the guard's there. You can't go into this facility without the guard being there. He has a key on his ring, on his chain, you know. And so he has to be there. He has to stand there. He has to put the large key in there, turn it before the door even opens for anybody to enter in. It's good to have that key. Because what happens if he doesn't?
Right.
Yeah, it will get ugly. But there's two things I want to point out here. Number one, because he has that key, he has the authority. And everybody respects him, even the inmates. If they're out of line, they realize it and they're corrected. Also, he protects us because there is no way anyone can get out or get in case something happens. Authority is good. The other thing is, if he doesn't have that key, he doesn't have any authority. Now, he may have a weapon on him, but I'm talking about keys to get in and out. There is no respect. And the inmates do not know what to do if there is no authority. Now, that doesn't mean they're all bad. It doesn't mean that they don't get it. It doesn't mean they learned their lesson. I'm not talking about that. Do you get what I'm saying here? You got to have that key. And when you have that key, you have the authority. We as the church have the authority now. It may not be the key. We may not carry a big key around. But we have the Word of God. Yes. And that authority is bigger than any physical key that we have. So here's my question. Are we using the keys today? Kingdom keys. Do we have the kingdom keys close by? Do we have the authority near our heart? Do we meditate on it day and night? Do we teach it to our children? Do we tell them how great the kingdom is? But we don't teach them how to get in. Do we have the keys whenever we minister to others? Do we use the Word of God or our own knowledge to answer questions about God or about His knowledge or his nature, I should say? Do we know it? And if we don't, we can. We live in a country where it's so great that we can get a Bible anytime, any place. And if you can't, please let me know. I'd love to give you a Bible so that you can start reading. Because you'll begin to see that there is an authority in this Bible, but this authority never goes away. And once you have this authority, the Word of God, and you have the Holy Spirit to guide you, direct you, to make you bold in your life, and you have the keys that He gives you, you can do amazing things for His glory, not our own. I hope I challenged you today because you have the keys. I have the keys. We have the keys. But kingdom keys are a different ballgame, folks, because these keys, if they're not used, society and the church falls apart. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. Because there's some disturbing things that are going on in this country as well as outside other countries. And people don't understand. Why is my child believing this? Why are they going down this way? Why is this happening? There is no authority. Not just physical authority as an officer. There is no Word of God authority. And society, deciding on their own, it eventually decays and falls apart.
Right.
Man destroys pretty much everything if you give them enough time. But the authority, the kingdom keys, those never go away. And so we as a church, we have to use these keys. We have to use these keys in our personal life. We have to use these keys and teach them and hand over the keys to our children and to other people who come into the church and give them authority. Not authority over anybody, but authority through Christ to overcome the devil and to overcome the things in their lives that they've been struggling with. The kingdom keys are so vital. And I encourage you to go after the keys because you have them now. But go after them and use them in your life. As we strive to use these kingdom keys in our church.